to say for the record that I love Star Wars. I love everything about it. I don't know if I'd go as far to dress up and go to movies. But I love Star Wars. I love George Lucas. I've always been a fan, and I've given them money. That doesn't mean that I am for the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art being on the lakefront. And I'll tell you why. You heard us, Rokan and I, getting at each other today and yesterday about the concept of trying to keep the lakefront free from commercial investment. Now, yes, you will say that this is a museum. This is the George Lucas Museum. But I would argue that George Lucas saw something he liked, which we all like, and whether there is a parking lot there or whether there is a space, that they want that location like anyone would. The Kauffman Museum would look great right there. But the point is that we need to protect our lakefront. And the Friends of the Park filed a lawsuit to say that, you know, the old Daniel Burnham plan prohibits people from building on the lakefront. Now that had, and we're going to talk about this throughout the hour, because there are many exceptions to that rule and politicians and others who have completely run over that rule. So it can be done. But I like the way this has transpired. I like that the Friends of the Park have spoken. They have put suit in the courts where you're supposed to do this. And there hasn't even been a ruling yet. But the city of Chicago is so scared from that ruling that they are thinking of new places. And George Lucas, from all accounts, is thinking of different towns. A great conversation to have, and we're going to have it tonight. 312-981-7200. Lee Bay's in studio. Lee Bay, an architecture contributor and critic. He's covered so many different things. He worked for the city of Chicago. He can give us a little perspective on Soldier Field, which was he was a part of that project. He's also worked for pretty much worked for all media in town. And we've had this conversation
we have
a million times.
Certainly have.
Lee Bay, great to see you, man.
Good to see you, man.
You're the
good
first guy you. I thought about this. When I started to see this, when I saw that the Friends of the Park yesterday were withdrawing their or were suspending their lawsuit for negotiations, I was like, I wonder what Lee's doing.
I was eating cereal in my underwear, frankly. But right, I recovered.
So, Lee, I mean, one of the things and one of the reasons that we had these conversations is you are have worked for the city, and you were actually on this committee to find a location. Why did you choose this area?
Well, this area was interesting because, you know, and despite what many people think, I mean, the committee, the 14-member task force over the course of about 6 weeks back in 2014, really went through almost every corner of the city trying to figure out where this place could go. Keep in mind that it's a museum that originally planned would be on the order and size square footage of the Field Museum. So that's, I'm doing this by memory. I think that's somewhere around 400,000, 600,000 square feet somewhere in there, or
so
a little
big.
More. So it's a big museum. So
it can't be on Michigan Avenue.
Exactly. It can't be on Michigan Avenue. It can't be inside the Uptown Theater. I mean, it's just a microscopic portion of what's needed. So you needed a big piece of land. And then you figure you need it accessible so that people can get to it. And slowly but surely, sites closer to downtown began to sort of look better. And then there was also a mandate at the time that it couldn't cost any city taxpayer dollar. So this plan B that's being proposed now, which will go $1 billion into debt and tear down Old McCormick Place, that wasn't on the table.
That wasn't on the table.
It was Lucas is going to do this on his own dime, considerable dime, $700 million.
He just needs a prominent, accessible space.
Just needs a spot. And this spot south of Soldier Field began to stand out. And frankly, I'll say this. I mean, I was one of the people on the team that argued for the site because I thought, and this is back when Governor Quinn was in office, I thought that putting this museum here, that investment would be good for the South Side. It would for starters. Secondly, I thought it would bring the transit improvements that the museum campus has needed. Mm-hmm. There's a metro station right there.
Right.
Better connections, better parkland. I thought this was a great site for it, and not just me, but obviously the team.
Well,
thought so too.
In the negotiations or in those committees, did it come up that there is this old standing sort of, I wouldn't even say law, rule, that you're not supposed to build on the lakefront?
Well, you know, it did. And it's interesting. I should point out that the Friends of the Park did not sue under the lakefront protection ordinances. Hmm. You know, the idea is that the lakefront protection ordinance prohibits private development from being built between Lakeshore Drive and right. the lake. So you and I can't build the Kaufman Bay Towers.
No, that's
right?
bogus.
But a museum, and particularly since there's a museum precedent there, and a stadium and a convention center, you know, the idea was, okay, this space could be safe. There's a parking, obviously, you know, a parking deck that's already there.
So the idea was that you would be able to use the precedent of a museum campus and stadiums and even a convention center to say that this is just in line with what's been done before.
Exactly. That a museum is indeed a public institution.
Okay, so let's talk about what are the Friends of the Park suing on then?
Well, they're suing under, and it's pretty clever. I mean, now I have to take off my hat and become Lee Citizen again. It's actually pretty clever. They sue under the law that says that formerly submerged waters, the disposition of them is the purview of the General Assembly, and that a city can't do that. This city can't do that on its own.
Because this is all landfilled lakefront.
Exactly.
Huh.
And, you know, there's a bit of a precedent for this. I think the city once tried to sell land to the Illinois Central Railroad back in the 1800s and ended up going to either the state or the federal Supreme Court saying that you can't do this. And this is where this kind of law was set. So that was kind of smart. And then the idea that the use agreement, the agreement that allows, you know, it's a lease, the city doesn't actually give up the land.
Right.
But what it argues is that the use agreement that the Lucas mechanism has crafted with the city is all but ownership except in name. You know, he can decide X, Y, Z and everything in between, and that he essentially acts as an owner.
But the actual, yeah, okay, all right.
And that by not getting state approval to do this, before you go into this is
what they
wrong.
Consider a violation. Now,
exactly.
Another thing, and I know there's people on the line. Stay with us because I do want to get to the arguments and the discourse we talked about. I'm fascinated by this. Friends of the Park is, I mean, they, you know, when this came down in the last 2 days, that looks like George Lucas, it was Melody Hobson saying Friends of the Park are no friends of ours or no friends of Chicago. And, you know, the it's almost this, the vitriol's, we've ratcheted it up that the Friends of the Park are bad for Chicago. This is a long-standing organization whose job, essentially, its mission is to protect the lakefront and parks.
You know, it is. And there are day in and day out, this organization has done advocacy things in parks away from the lake that we now enjoy. And parkland is always contested. So again, I'm Lee Bay Citizen now, right? So parkland is always contested, and you know.
So this has nothing to do with George Lucas. This is just the idea that parkland is always contested.
It is always contested, and perhaps should be. And I think that's the their feeling, and certainly you know there's precedent with that going back to A. Montgomery Ward and everything in between. That you know you do something on the parkland that it's going to raise a hackle, and one can argue that it should.
They've gotten up in your business when you were at Soldier Field. Now, a lot of times, the Friends of the Park will file a lawsuit, whether it's lakefront protection or whatever they do, and I would say more times than not, a judge will throw it away.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a whole lot. I mean, I think for these kind of grand mall cases like Soldier Field, you know, Soldier Field was already there. The city undergoes an exercise to rebuild it, and they filed suit. And you know they lost, but it is what they, you know, it's a part of what they do.
I mean that's their mission.
It is
their mission is to protect it and who they're protecting against the city. So in this case, it's not strange that they filed suit. What's different is that the judge allowed it. Because usually, you know, you don't get to this stage with these guys.
Well, you know, it's a federal judge, which is different than the county judges. I'm not saying anything bad about county judges, but filing it in federal court is an interesting tact. That the idea is, and hopefully a lawyer can come in and put a finer point on this than I'm able to with my vocational high school education, but but a very good vocational
very
high
good,
school.
Very
let me,
good,
let me tell
very
you,
good,
let me tell
yeah.
you, we had law classes, but filing under federal court. The reasons why is the idea is by not getting approval from the General Assembly, one of the sort of offending tacks for them is, by not doing this, it violates, in their mind, federal due process laws. That by skipping this thing, it violates public due process laws. And in fact, the city's motion that it filed in court today, the writ of mandamus.
Yeah,
of
right. Seeking. They're looking to throw it out with a different judge. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
With an appellate judge basically saying, and this is where it gets a little squirrely, that this beef is not a federal beef.
Right. Right? They want it thrown out saying we'll take care of it in our own jurisdiction.
Exactly.
In the county.
That there's no article.
Right.
That there's no Article 3.
So
well,
good.
What they're saying is that there's no Article 3. Article 3 of the Constitution says these are the... These are the powers that federal judges in courts have. And what the city's arguing, one of the arguments is, and none of that is an Article 3 trigger. Which,
interesting.
Which is
this
pretty
is clever.
Slick on
this
their,
is,
on their
yeah,
part,
this
man.
This is legally clever by both sides.
It is. It really
and Friends
is.
Of the Park, I mean, it's funny because I've heard them mischaracterized a lot in the news now that this story has bubbled up to the mainstream. They're not a collection of millionaires and billionaires who are like, oh, let's stop George Lucas. I mean, these are a lot of activists and advocates and people who are, you know, dedicated to, I guess, you know, the pursuits of parkland and green space and things like that.
Exactly. You know, and these are essentially the ideological descendants of people who fought really great battles for this city, you know, prior to its founding in 75 or so. You know, the parks advocates who tied themselves to trees back in the 60s and 70s to keep a roadway from cutting through Jackson Park,
right.
Who fought unsuccessfully the idea of building schools in parks because the schools had money to build new schools in the 60s and 70s, didn't have land, and said, well, we'll just build them in the park.
Right.
And then two of them actually are there, Diet School and maybe three, but Diet School on the south side and Collins School on the west side is one of them.
This is so good.
So, you know, it isn't like they're on the side of
I know.
Evil.
Yeah, they're not. All right, so Lee Bay's with me. Let's 312-981-7200. Let's quickly get to the break. We'll come back out of the break. We'll take your calls. We'll talk. We'll take texts. We'll have a conversation about some of the big ticket items about the parkland, the lakefront, and the Lucas Museum. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Lee Bay is with me. Susan is on the line. Susan, make your argument for the Lucas Museum.
I have pretty strong opinions on this. I lived in Chicago for 20 years. In fact, they're talking about Michael Reese. I worked at Michael Reese back in the day when it was open.
Wow.
But here's my suggestion. I think it needs to be on the lakefront. Now, one of the reasons is it would draw billions of people to Chicago. People are not going to come from China necessarily to see the Shedd Aquarium. And I'm not against the Shedd Aquarium or the Planetarium. My husband used to take classes at the Planetarium. I love the museums, the artists. Here's my idea. It needs to be on the lakefront. It would generate so much revenue that they could also offer 50% off to see the other museums in Chicago.
Museums.
And they would have the rip. Plus, it would generate. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet.
Okay.
3.5 billion would love to come to see the Lucas Museum, and maybe 2 billion can afford to do it. They're going to come from China, from Russia.
I've heard this argument, Susan. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for that. I've heard this argument before. If someone is coming from China to see the Lucas Museum, they'll go to Southworks. They'll go to Pullman. They'll go to the post office above 290, right? They'll go to wherever it's at. There's not, I mean, it's not like, oh, the Great Wall's not in Hong Kong. I guess I'm not going to go. I mean, I understand the concept that if you put it on the lakefront, you know, it'll be beneficial to other places. But if you're going to count on Star Wars fans, billions and billions and billions of Star Wars fans to come to Chicago, and they'll hop the Uber. All right? Doug. What do you think of the Lucas Museum, bud?
Yeah, all right. They're F-tard. Listen up. It's going to create a lot of construction jobs first.
Okay.
You get that, right?
I understand that. And I'm,
do you understand that first?
Yeah,
I understand that.
Let's have a, let's have a little bit of decency,
jobs.
Bud. All right.
All right.
There's a great little button here that I use once in a while. It's an X. that was rude.
Cool.
Let's not be rude. You might not agree with my point of view. And I know what you're saying about construction jobs. No, but again, I will say that I am not against the Lucas Museum being in the city of Chicago. I think it's great. I don't think it should be on the lakefront. I think it sets an ugly precedent. I know it's the Museum of Narrative Art. And as Ro made fun of me, that says, why aren't you an art? I love art. But I feel like there are places, if you put this museum somewhere else in the city of Chicago that wasn't on park or lakefront land, it would still be successful. It would still create jobs for construction workers. It would still be a place that would be a benefit to the city of Chicago. That's my thought. Robert, what do you think of the Lucas Museum, bud?
Well, I'm thinking, what about Waukegan, the home of Ray Bradbury?
Well, there's no connection. I mean, it'd be great to have it in Waukegan, I guess, but there's no connection there. And that might be difficult to actually move it further up the lake than to have it actually accessible from Chicago public transit.
Yeah, they've done a lot of reclamation up there, and it's a whole bunch of flat land ready to be developed. So anyway, right. Just my two cents.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that. And that brings up a point, though, that there are a lot of places that are developed. Can you tell us, Lee, what were the other sites?
Okay, I'm doing this by memory. I mean, we looked at Southworks, right? Okay. U.S. Steel Southworks site on the south side. The land is there, and at the time, the deal to redevelop Southworks was still alive. That sort of fell apart in recent weeks. But the idea there is that the feeling was it's a bit remote. If you live, it's not remote if you live where I live in Pullman, or if you live on the south side or downtown.
No, but if you are one of these tourists,
if you're in Austin,
right.
Or if you're in a city, if you're in Austin, you're in
it's tough to get down
northwest
there.
Side. It's tough to get
I still
down.
Go, but that'd be that'd be a great place. There's so much space there.
There would be, and it would be on the lake. So that got looked at, but the transportation issue was one. Another one, I'm doing this by memory, and this I may not have right, but I remember looking at sites around the Museum of Science and Industry. Thinking there's a pairing for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, the museum is of a size, couldn't figure out a way to do it without ripping up tons of actively used park.
I don't know if you need a university there in Hyde Park. I don't think they use it that much. I think you just take all those buildings.
Hey, what are they doing with it anyway? That's right. But so there are places.
There were places to look at, but the parking lot won out. All right, let's take a quick break so we stay on target with the news with Rob Martyr, and then we'll get to calls. I know I got Dave on the line, Larry's on the line, some other people that are about to come through. Stay on the line. Also get to the text 312-981-7200. We're talking Lucas Museum here on The Download. Stay with us. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on the line. Dave, welcome to The Download. What do you think?
I think that the people that want the Lucas Museum want it on the lake because they're the ones that never go to the lakefront, and they don't understand this is a lakefront city. The reason why we have the lakefront is because the past 100 years we have been telling developers, no, no, no. The better place for it would be Navy Pier. I've got nothing against it. Just stay away from my lakefront.
There you go. Dave, thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. What do you want?
I got to push back just a tiny little bit with respect to Dave's very good point.
Love it.
Which is, again, there's already no parkland there now. I mean, again, the legal merits of the suit are this, that, and the other, but the end result, right?
Is a parking lot.
Is a parking lot. And it's a spot that you can't see the lake from at all. I mean, unless you get a periscope or a pair of very tall Elton John shoes, you can't see the lake. There's the harbor and Northern Island a bit. So you can't see the lake. You cannot see the lake from here. And so I think that, not to negate the point, but I think the point has to be made that we're not talking about,
you're not talking about a high rise that's blocking, or a factory that's blocking all of the lake. This doesn't block at all.
Nor are we talking about a spot in the lakefront that's grassy and open and park-like as it exists.
Right,
so I'm just got to put that in there.
All right, Sue, welcome to The Download.
Hello.
Let's talk Lucas Museum. What do you think?
Thank you. Good evening, and I hope we don't lose it. But one of my questions is, if there's a falling apart down part or part of McCormick Place that's not being in use, why not then raise that and put the museum there? I mean, to me, that's a basic or fundamental question.
That's a great – thank you, Sue. That's something that I know Lee would definitely want to answer.
Well, Sue asks a good question. And frankly, the part – the sort of plan B that was floated maybe the middle of last month was just that, where McCormick Place, the East Side Center, Lakeside Center would be torn down and the new museum built on the foundations. The problem is with that is that the plan called for the replacement of convention space with a building that would deck over, I think, part of Lakeshore Drive. That will cost about $1 billion. In order to do that, you have to sort of increase elongate the period of certain taxes downtown that fund McPeer now. Lucas would still put in his $750 million.
We would pick up the rest.
But taxpayers, you know, purchasing taxpayers would pick up the rest. My thing was, and we've talked about this before, is to put the museum in Lakeside Center. Lakeside Center needs...
It doesn't need to be this new design. Put it in there.
And restore that building. There's a building...
It's big enough.
Listen, there's a military museum in the Netherlands that is built, and it looks exactly like this building. Built in 2014, modeled after the new gallery, National Gallery in Berlin, just like McCormick Place was. And if you find it on the internet, look it up, and you will see what this place would look like as a museum, and it's stunning.
I want to get to the other calls here, Joe, Margaret, others that are on the line. Your building. Mm-hmm. This is your building.
This is my building.
Because we've talked about this building, and you know, there have been a lot of times that people have said, you know, what an eyesore. We need to get rid of it, or we need to get rid of the old McCormick Place. You stand by. This is a landmark.
It's a landmark building. It's the use that makes it a barrier, not the building itself. With that kind of money, if you put $700 million, $400 million into this building, turn it into a museum, you can re-sculpt the landscape around it so that it connects better with the lake. You can create spaces in and around this building that would be stunning and accomplish everything that the museum would accomplish.
I'd be interested in that.
Thank you.
Joe, welcome to the download. Yeah. Okay, what do you got, Joe?
Thank you. I just don't think that space-age-looking type Star Wars building fits in with the antiqueness of all the buildings on the lakefront. And there's plenty of land in Chicago without displacing a lot of people. I'm from the west side of Chicago. I grew up in Garfield Park area. Mm-hmm. And frankly, east of Garfield Park and west of the United Center, I think there's plenty of land there which would expand the downtown area, and you wouldn't displace that many people in those homes there. And I think it'd be much better to be utilized to expand the downtown area west of the United Center rather than clogging up the lakefront. And believe me, I don't mind admitting that I drive Uber downtown, and I mean, believe me, it's tough going from the Conrad Hilton to the Shedd Aquarium.
Right, it's not easy.
Another building.
Yeah, right, exactly. Traffic should be considered.
I just think there's so much land west of Western Avenue where the United Center is, and it wouldn't displace a lot of people. And you're close to a train station where they could actually put along the Lake Street L, they could even put railroad stops and a nice, much like University of Chicago on the south side.
The
train station with the dome on it and everything else. Much better, and it'd be expanding. And, you know, the thing that really kills me, it's my last point, is every time a politician wants to do something, they always throw out the construction jobs. And, you know, there's plenty of construction going on in Chicago. Most of the guys are working now. There isn't a street in Chicago that isn't being dug up. So that fallacy that politicians use that it's going to create jobs is really kind of it's just a throw-in for everybody.
Right.
It's a smokescreen.
All right, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Okay, so that's interesting. I mean, there has been some eminent domain, especially when you think about the near southwest side, when you talk about UIC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the old man Daley just kind of took over a whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the concept of taking a little bit more barren land and displacing residents to create something like this?
You know, I think in many cases it's a non-starter because, again, think of a museum the size of the Field Museum, right, of the field, and think of how many few places. This isn't like a – 3 or 4 vacant lots. I mean, it's pretty big. That's one. And two is, you know, displacing people, you know, it's all well and good until you're the one that's being displaced. And the places where this museum could go, more than likely, that could fit, the landlord could make a killing. I know I would. If George Lucas came and said, I want to buy your 2-flat and I'm the last guy,
right.
Man, that two flat in Garfield Park
is
going to be $9 million.
Right.
But my renter, he's going to have a tough time finding new places to stay. So I think you don't want to displace.
Especially for something of commercial interest, meaning that this is
not commercial. It's
is
a
commercial.
Museum. It's cultural. We're going to fight over this,
man. But I mean, I feel like, you know, until I can, I mean, it's almost, I'm trying to think of precedent in this regard. I mean, I don't see George Lucas as a man who is bringing this museum to better the city of Chicago. I feel like George Lucas is looking for something to put his name on and to get his paintings out of his
garage. They all are. They all are. Look at Max Adler of the Adler Planetarium, who ponied up the $500,000 back in the 30s to build the only planetarium in North America. People are like, what in the blazes is this? And this dome-like modernist building. But he did it. All museums are started by rich people who want to do something. I mean, the Art Institute, which is in a park, people forget. It predates the law that we're talking about, or at least the execution of it. But it's the same thing. All museums are started by – that's why the names are on them. There's no Lee Bay Museum. devoted to poverty and secondhand clothes.
What does the Museum of Narrative Art bring to Chicago that the Art Institute, the Museum of Contemporary Art, and other art organizations and institutes in this town already do?
Well, as planned, I mean, it's a museum, as talked about. It's a museum that talks about the entire run of how we tell stories visually. There's supposed to be classrooms. And again, George Lucas does not need or pay me to argue his point. But I'm just talking as the citizen. How movies are made, how we tell stories through pictures. You can imagine that hot shows coming from other places can come here and have space in here. Rare artwork how special effects are made in film. The idea that it's a Star Wars museum, is probably very little. I mean, as I saw, there's very little that was actually Star Wars. I mean, it's really, how did Orson... how did Carol Speed make The Third Man? Beautiful, moody, black and white movie from the 40s. And what does it mean? How did it influence cinema? This is a place.
I have an idea. Put it down where the CineSpace is. Put it down where all the new production is, and make it a museum down in that area.
It's too big. But let me tell you this: this is a good idea. The idea of having a museum like that here. When we have a more than fledgling film industry now coming back to Chicago after almost a century, to have that sort of synergy together is a good, is a darn good thing. And I think that big cities should not be in the business of throwing away museums. Now, we can argue over the site and stuff, but the idea that at the end of the day the city could lose this thing either because the developer, the owner, won't build it anyplace else, or whatever the reason may be, I think is a tragedy.
Lee Bay in studio. Okay, so Kay, Margaret, Jim, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. It's The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Lee Bay in studio with me, architecture contributor who has worked for a lot of different places. He's also been on this program several times, and he was part of the task force that was put together to find a location for the Lucas Museum.
So the first location.
The first location.
That's right.
Not the new one. Kay, welcome to the show. What do you think of the Lucas Museum?
You're creating a slippery slope. If you talk to any real estate lawyer, he'll tell you you don't know what's going to happen in the future if you okay this. Once you okay that museum on the lakefront, no matter where the particular location and what's located on that location now, if I come by a year from now or 2 years from now and you tell me I can't build there, I can say, why not? You let them go there, so you're setting precedent.
Yeah.
And precedents are hard to violate.
Right. Thanks, Kay. Thank you for that. That precedent has played a role. I've heard it both ways. I mean, the city, it seems like the city wants to throw this thing out because it doesn't want precedent. But the precedent of building something has already been established. I mean, you talked about this, the Field Museum, the Adler, the Shedd Aquarium. They all kind of are in the same ballpark of what's happening with the George Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
They are. But also there's another thing to keep in mind, too. The precedent is simply this: walked very slowly. Government agency has to give permission for a thing to be built on public property, which means that if you and I decided, again, we wanted Bay and Kaufman Towers.
Kaufman
Bay Towers, all right. That's going to go through the process, and the Lakefront Protection Ordinance is going to kick in. It's going to say, there's no public good to you guys having a private tower here. Museum, cultural thing, field house perhaps, one thing, condos, something else. And that, so there are checks and balances. There are stops already here to keep the kind of development out that you don't want on the lakefront. Again, a museum is different.
Now, What is there to the idea that George Lucas is inflexible? That the concept that we saw this a little bit in San Francisco where he wanted to build in an area on the lakefront, the Presidio there by the Golden Gate Bridge, and they're like, nah. And he's like, I'm gone. And Rahm Emanuel is doing exactly what Los Angeles is doing now, going, we'll take you.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is saying, I want this space on the lakefront.
You know, I don't think he was that inflexible in San Francisco.
Really?
I mean, if you look at the record slowly, he did come up with a design. They said, okay, you can have it, but design it like this. Much smaller building, sort of match the architecture of the existing buildings around the Presidio, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, neoclassic architecture. And they didn't like what he proposed. And he said, okay, I gave you what you wanted. You still don't like it. I'm looking someplace else. And then Rahm stepped in. That's different than here.
Yeah, right. And but here, I mean, he's running into the same kind of issues where it's not going as it's not perfect for him.
And again, okay, he doesn't need me to defend him, but In this case, he proposed a building that was larger than the site, and people didn't like it. Said, "Look, it takes away parkland, and it's ugly." So he makes it smaller, puts more parkland into it, and you know it doesn't make the suit go away. But he did sort of respond in some way. Now, where there's probably some inflexibility is can it be built someplace else in the city?
Right.
You know, there's the marshalling yards. There's Michael Reese. You know, let's say he doesn't want to do the Lee Bay plan and restore Lakeside Center. There are vacant parcels not far from there that he could deal with. But I think there's an unwillingness to, you know, to do that.
Jim. All right, Jim. Lucas Museum, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's partly responding to what Lee said earlier, that the park land, if you will, right now is kind of C-minus at best at the level it's at. So create a building that's got, you know, 4 or 5 acres of park land on the roof, a couple of hundred feet up, so it's got a great view of the lake. And it's a win-win. The friends of the park get a park that doesn't exist with a great view, and it's a new chapter in the Chicago School of Architecture. People
Jim.
Come from around the world to see that kind of a design, as in addition to seeing the, you know, the rest of the Lucas stuff.
I am in awe of your innovation, Jim. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Jim's
got
a good idea.
That's civic discourse right there. You know, he's saying, okay, here's an idea. We can build something. Instead of making this a negative, we make it a positive.
Exactly.
All right, so, you know, how's this going to play out? I mean, the big news today was that the City of Chicago's going to an appellate court. Do you think they might have a chance here to get this thing thrown out?
I think it's not quite the long shot, not a slam dunk by any stretch, but I think it's not quite the long shot. I mean, again, does their complaint trigger a legitimate Article 3 of the Constitution? Does it give federal courts the jurisdiction to step in? I think the city, you know, looking at the filing, I noticed that one of the attorneys is Dick Burke, no relation to Ed Burke, but very smart attorney, represent the city on the Soldier Field suit against the Friends of Park, filed against the city back in the old days. And I think there's more traction here than meets the eye.
All of this is a discourse that continues with the city of Chicago, whether it has to do with the lakefront, whether it has to do with the Obama Library, whether it has to do with Lollapalooza and Grant Park.
Yeah.
These are conversations we need to have, and we need to be able to voice both sides. And that, to me, is what is fascinating about this story. And it's one that I think you're hearing from a lot of people we heard today talking about the future of the city we live in.
Exactly. You know, having people, this is why I love the city. Whenever I think about taking my act, such as it is, to some other city, I always think, how many cities in America where people can argue about architecture and place and lakefront protection, that kind of thing, and be mad about it? I mean, the guy who was complaining about the jobs, I don't like his use of his language at the beginning of the calls,
but that guy
was exercised about this, man. And you know, this is what makes Chicago, Chicago. This is why I love this city.
All right. Lee Bay, architecture contributor, also was on the task force to pick the location for a Lucas Museum. Lee, great to talk to you. We're going to talk again, and we're going to talk again soon because this is not at all done.
No.
Just beginning. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, man.